from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Don't be left out. Baseball isn't boring on WEEI.
Boston's Sports Original.
Jacob, is this like the opposite of a song that I would want?
I was told to play a song about Baltimore by Gordo.
No, that was Sammy.
Yeah.
Play like Omar whistling from The Wire or something. I'd rather hear that. Felix Batista's walking music. No, all right, anyway.
Relaxing.
What was Kimbrel's old walking song? Welcome to the Jungle. Ooh.
Yeah, he's going to have a walkout song.
The walkout song yesterday was a chorus of booze.
No, I'm talking about his walkout song is going to be walking out of Baltimore. People here are furious with him.
The Kimbrel experience can be.
He is
nowadays.
He's been bad, man.
Can't imagine why.
He's been bad. I mean, this is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Jacob, you know you're doing an awesome job. You know, this is, I kid because
of
I care.
McFarland.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what's what. And I'm going to get to the calls in a second. But, you know, the Kimbrel thing, Baltimore did a great job. I did a podcast yesterday with Zach Eflin, which will drop early next week. He's been a great pickup for them. They've made some other great moves. But how they left themselves with having to lean on Craig Kimbrel in the bullpen is the exact same mistake that the Phillies made last year that came back to haunt them.
I never understood the signing in the offseason. It was from day one. They spent legitimate money on him, too.
Yeah, it made no sense. So, but you know what? I mean, bullpens, you know, it's a tricky thing, as we can talk about with the trade deadline. The Red Sox bullpen acquisition, you know, I think one has been disastrous. One's just been, okay. Lucas Sims, okay. But still, we go back to 2021 guys, Sammy and Gordo. We go back to 2021, and you got two guys, and everyone's like, yeah, really? Hansel Robles and Austin Davis? They're actually, like, were valuable guys.
Especially Robles.
Robles was awesome.
I had someone last night in my Twitter replies comparing, like, saying Robles is bad, like Luis Garcia, like, comparing them. I'm like, oh, my God, no, you misremembering entirely?
They're thinking about 2022 Robles.
Right.
Yeah.
But 21 Robles, got them to the playoffs.
Listen, if we can do a whole hour in 2022, Hansel Robles. But we're not going to. Instead, we're going to go to the phone line.
We should.
617-6. Speaking of bench pressing, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Rick in Salem. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Good afternoon.
Good.
Anyway,
good afternoon.
Rob, let me roll the tape back to the last game of that series against Texas.
No,
I don't care.
Don't.
People can say what they want about Cora. No, I'm being serious, Robin. There was no reason why Chris Martin shouldn't have been starting that eighth inning. And I don't care if Kenley Jansen pitched the night before, because I've seen other closers do it throughout the league, not babying them. He could have come in and closed that game out in the ninth inning. Dude, Cora with his lame excuse.
On.
Jansen pitched the night. Rob,
Rick,
guys can pitch
Rick,
two
can
games
I tell you something?
Row.
Listen, I'm going to let you go.
Go ahead.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
I was in the clubhouse before that game. Kenley Jansen showed up to the park. He's like, wait a second. I literally have to go tell the manager that I can't pitch today.
Are you serious?
So if that's what happens, that's what happens. So I'm just trying to state some facts, but go ahead. Continue.
Oh, no, you're okay. If that happened, that happened. But still, I've seen Cora in numerous situations. Then he goes ready because he had to bring, with Garcia's disaster, he had to bring Martin in to get that one out in the eighth inning. So what if Martin has to come back out for one more inning if Jansen can't do it? This is down to 40 games into the season. You got to have a sense of urgency. You can't give games away like that, Rob. Cora's not good with pitching. I've seen him take guys through these past few years, guys out when he should have been left in, and guys he takes out ready. Rob, when they should have been taken out, he don't take them out. But guys that are pitching a good game, he'll go. And I'm not crazy on Cora with pitching. That's what I think a big fault with him is. All right, you guys have a good afternoon.
All
thank
right,
you.
Thank you for the call.
I
like
got to disagree.
It's all right. It's, again, I like the passion. I like the energy. You know, people are excited about, you know, actually having things to talk about. And it's fine to disagree. And like I said, I totally understand, you know, that mindset and that line of thinking, but you also have to add context to it. And a lot of times that's what Cora does after the game. You know, he's like, oh, well, this guy wasn't available, that guy wasn't available. I just happened to be there when that happened, so I knew, you know, that Kenley Jansen was not pitching that day.
You have to look also at, because the Chris Martin thing, like, I understand the frustration. Martin comes in for the eighth, gets the out, and then doesn't come back out for the ninth. They're not sitting Martin for a half inning and bringing him back in. He's been hurt multiple times this year. They're just not going to take the chance on him. They were careful with
just
him last year, too.
AL. He just got off. He's
with elbow.
40 years old. By the way, Josh Winkowski needs to be able to hold a 3-run lead.
Yeah.
Against a not very good Texas Ranger team. We're burying
the lead with this. They had a 3-run lead in the ninth. I know Kenley's not available. Ideally, you go to him. Winkowski has to be able to lock that down. That's absurd.
And before we go to the next call, the two things. Number one is that I thought last night's game was wildly overthought by them. I hated it. I hated it from the minute they announced it, because if you go back, the whole Cooper Criswell thing, if you go back earlier this year, they did the same thing. Cooper Criswell was rolling along as a starter. They had Bernardino be an opener for him. Criswell had a terrible outing. And this time it was even worse, I thought, because you burnt two pitchers before you even got to Criswell. And there, to me, I know you want to get through that first inning, whatever. But still, you burnt two pitchers.
Yeah, I didn't like the burning
two. They used Zach Kelly in the first inning. That's a guy who can get you more
Yes, and so just run Criswell out there, see what he can do, and then go from there. But you literally were down two pitchers because you did this thing, which to me, it wasn't worth it. It just simply wasn't worth it.
The Bernardino part, though, that's just to get through those tough lefties.
I don't mind the Bernardino
line.
Open.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Rob, he has a zero ERA in the first inning. He's never let up a first inning run.
Okay, all right. So I hear you. I respect your opinion. It's your prerogative to be wrong. But I'm just going to say this. Is that I want you to go back once again. You also have to weigh in who is the other guy coming in. Cooper Criswell, the other time that they did this, it did not work out. Sometimes these starters, they don't like that. They don't like that. And we can get to this. I think, Sammy, you may have tweeted it. It was the Hall of Fame of bad ideas, this Major League Baseball with the sixth inning thing. You know, it was incredible. But anyway, so I do want to get to the lineup real quick. Lineup just came out. Yes, lineup's out. Jaron Duran is leading off. Rob Snyder playing right field. Tyler O'Neill back in the lineup. He's playing left. Rafael Devers, third base. Jansen's catching. Romy, my homie, is at second base. Casas, wow, low in the order. He's at first base. Connor Wong, DH, and Sedan Rafaela, shortstop. When was the last time Tristan Casas hit seventh?
So, wait, do I have it right? They have two righties in front of him and two righties behind him?
They have. That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct, yes. So there you go.
But, yeah, I mean, definitely low on the order. I bet that's the thought process, though, is they're sandwiching him, trying to get him at bats against a right-handed.
That is a thought process.
Yep, it's the lineup so
right,
much longer.
All right, let's go to David in Florida. Hey, David, how are you?
Bradshaw.
What's up?
How come your other producer, Joe Schmo, always hangs up on me when I try and call? I have issues with him.
Hold on. I haven't met Joe Schmo yet, but I will look into it.
Yeah, well,
you're off me, we ain't tripping about that.
Now, this is a simple question for you. Do you think, and I'm glad that other guy called just a minute ago, getting on Cora, because do you think he gets the most out of this team? Simple
yes.
question.
What did
Definitely.
You, I, what I think, did you guys think?
The most the most is an extreme statement, but I think that he gets a lot out of this team, and I do think this year, probably more than any other year that he's managed for the Red Sox, he's gotten the most of the talent that he's given.
It would just make me so happy if he would send a message with one of these pitchers or the defense that goes on that permeates the team, at least all around the infield. Just somebody has to be the fall guy. I mean, if this were the Patriots or Belichick, when that running back Ridley would constantly fumble, he was on the bench. I mean, you just got to send a message with someone. And these are all professional athletes.
David, I'm confused.
Message for what?
For the horrible defense they play, just bench someone for two or three games. Just send a pitcher back down to the minors for a week.
Wait, David, if you're gonna call, like honest to God, like if you're gonna call, if you're gonna call and you say we say what message are you gonna send? And you said the defense, and you saying send a pitcher down. Like you're not even making any sense.
I'm saying both examples, both situations.
Well, okay,
the defense and the pitching.
I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me. Pick a player. You're the manager. Pick a player that is going to be the ultimate message sender to fix the defense and fix the pitching.
Hamilton.
All right. You mean the guy who hit a home run and stole a base for you last night?
The guy with a 900 plus OPS over the last 2 weeks.
Defense over offense.
When you send David Hamilton down, your message sending that you're doing, which is so bizarre to me, but hey, I'll entertain it. You send him down.
No.
What is the message that goes through that clubhouse?
Play better defense.
You want to tolerate the defense. And someone who's supposed to be as intelligent as yourself, I would think you would know that defense and pitching are more pivotal than offense.
You're absolutely right. Defense and pitching are very pivotal. But you know what?
You know how you don't
fix them? By sending down valuable players.
Like, yes, you do.
Okay.
They should have done it earlier in the year. But he's too, just like last year with Alex Vertigo. I hate that idiot. But you know, he waited too long to send a message with him, and he was late.
He sent multiple messages, and he benched him twice.
It's a lot of lessons.
Also, yesterday, you were right about yesterday's game, Bradfo. Cora overmanaged by starting. I mean, what the heck? I mean, what is this? He starts Bernardino, and then he takes him out after two pitches? Two batters? Three batters? I mean, it's just ludicrous. He's pedantic. How's that for a fancy word? He's pedantic. Good. He's docile.
Not great.
And he just overmanages.
Now you're just throwing out random words. So anyway, thank you. I appreciate
no,
your call. Yeah, I appreciate I appreciate your call.
What is this message going to do?
I appreciate Joe Schmo's going to hang fun.
We gotta figure out why Joe Schmo isn't taking his call.
I think he was talking about Joe Braverman,
message,
right?
Yeah, this message that we're sending, does this kind of imply that he thinks that the Red Sox don't realize they're not playing good defense on the infield? Is that what this message is going to do?
No. I'd rather have like a Rudy in the stool speech. Put the stool in the middle of the clubhouse, say, guys, play better defense.
Hamilton on fire, but we got to send a message, so see ya.
The defense in the third Rangers game. The third Rangers game was so bad for so many ways. But in general, has the defense been like bad overall since the first couple of months, like basically since that May.
It's been average. It's been average.
Pretty,
average.
Like, it hasn't, like the outfield defense, obviously really good. Infield defense, obviously could be better, but it's not like last year.
Oh, oh my God.
Last year, I mean, it lost you game after game after game.
Yeah. Remember, that's not this year.
Yeah. All right. We got a lot to get to. I'm looking at baseball a whole new way. Well, I appreciate it. Listen, people are passionate and nothing wrong with that. But I guess it does get to the point where I just lose it. I'm like, come on.
That was a great call.
It was a call. Absolutely. It was one of the calls of all time.
Yep.
It was a call.
Yeah, that's a bad one, right?
Well, all right. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Gordo. That's Sammy. This is a Baseballs and Boring show. And now you are going to trend with producer Jacob.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox defeated the Orioles last night, even though their pitchers surrendered 10 runs. That's an issue that's been plaguing this team since the All-Star break. It was because the Red Sox hitters got to Corbin Burnes. Corbin Burnes gave up 8 runs and 10 hits, both career highs, in 4 innings. It was a tough start for the AL starter last month in the All-Star game and the 2021 Cy Young Award winner. The Red Sox currently sit 2.5 games outside the third wildcard spot. Games to look out for tonight at 6:40. The Royals are in Cincinnati. That's a big game for the Red Sox wild card hopes. Alex Cora had this to say after the game.
Throughout the game, it felt that way. They have a good lineup. We have a good lineup. It was one of those that the offense was locked in. I was happy we got to the eighth to get it to Marty, and then the ninth to get it to Kenley, and we got 27 outs.
The Red Sox are back in action tonight at 7:05 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Tyler Murray and Will Fleming are on the call. Brian Baio is on the mound for the Sox. Cade Povich for the Orioles. The Sox lineup looks like this, as Bradford just announced. Durant in center field. Ref Snyder in right. O'Neill is back. He was reinstated from the IL today. Sogard got optioned to AAA. Devers at third base, batting fourth. Jansen catching. Gonzalez. Romy Mahomie at second base. Casas at first. Wong at DH. And Rafaela at short. Rod Bradford's got the MassMutual pregame show at 6:05. MassMutual, insurance, planning, investments. In Celtics news, the schedule has been announced. The NBA will open up the season at TD Garden as the Celtics will take on the Knicks on October 22nd. And the Patriots are back on the practice field today to prep for their third preseason game next Sunday against the Commanders. Here's what Jerod Mayo had to say after the second preseason game about Drake May.
Can you envision seeing Drake take first team reps over the last 3 training camp practices?
We'll see. You know, we'll have a staff meeting later on today, and that decision will be made. I do think, you know, he definitely showed improvement yesterday as a whole, and we'll see what happens going forward.
My name is Jacob Lassner, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Baseball Isn't Boring with Brad Lowe on WEEI.
You're getting there, Jacob. You're getting there. All right.
It used to be a good entrance. Craig
Kimbrel. Yeah.
His days in Boston were good.
Oh, no. Listen, I mean, there's a reason. He was good. He was good last year for the Phillies. Get Craig Kimbrel. You know what else is good? No, I say great. McFarland energy. And also baseball support. The Baseball Support Show, which is exactly what you're listening to here. You're all the way to 6 o'clock in the pregame show. And then I will be partaking in the pregame show today. What a treat for everybody. Leading into Will Fleming and Tyler Murray on the call. I am in Camden Yards. I am setting the scene. You guys want me to set the scene?
Please.
Wow. I've never seen anyone so anxious to set the scene. Kenley Jansen is doing some work, running or something. What would we call this? Like some sprints and shuffles and
sauntering.
No. He's not sauntering. He's working. He's actually doing like cone drills.
I kind of just wanted to
like
say
if I was covering NFL preseason right now, I would be making huge judgments on how Kenley's running these cone drills and say he's going to have a huge game tonight or not have a huge game. He was, by the way, good last night. He was the one guy. Who was
oh, my
good,
God.
Right?
They were averaging over two hits an inning, and Kenley comes in. It's the heart of the order. It's strikeout, easy ground out.
Yeah.
I feel so good when he comes
into games. Juxtapose that against the guy who he's going back and forth with the all-time save category and Craig Kimbrel about Kimbrel is like sort of stuttering to the finish line here. But again, it's amazing to me that the Baltimore Orioles put their eggs in that basket. And it's such an important basket it was. You knew that you were going to have Felix Bautista, and so your answer was the Kimbrel, and you really didn't do anything else at the deadline. I mean, you didn't. Did they get a reliever at all?
Yeah, they did. Got Dominguez,
and they got the other guy from Philly, the lefty, who pitched in Game One. Why he's wild? All star in Detroit, Gregory Soto.
Oh yeah, they got Soto and Sir Anthony Dominguez, which is a underrated name, maybe
great name,
top five name in baseball right
all
now.
All right, again, we get the lineup out. Tyler O'Neill's back in the lineup. Before we get back to the calls, we'll get to the calls in 2 seconds, actually 2 minutes, because what I want to play for you right now is a 2 minute grill I did with Tyler O'Neill. Ooh. Tyler O'Neill coming back. Some very, very important. I want you guys to intently listen to this. It's almost exactly 2 minutes. It's very important. Some of the questions that I gave him and answers that he gave back. So here you go. Here's Tyler O'Neill, who's making his return today. Another 2 minute grill with Rob Bradford, one of our favorites, Tyler O'Neill, on the verge of coming back, right? Correct?
Yes, very close.
Feel good?
Yeah, I feel great, thankfully.
So in the last 3 days since you got out of the hospital bed, what has it really just been a rapid turn of events here?
Yeah, man. You know, I'm just happy to be on my feet. It was pretty scary for a couple of days there. You know, just really thankful for all the care that I got at MGH and even the Kansas Hospital before that. But yeah, just happy to be pain-free, you know, moving around, just getting built up and, you know, ready for a strong finish here. It's going to be a fun September.
Did you feel, in the workouts you've had in the last couple of days, have you felt like you've been able to sort of pick up where you left off? Because I don't know if you know this, you've been really, really good, especially since the All-Star break, but have you been able to pick up where you left off?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of rust coming off the bed, honestly. You know, so I had my feet up for about a week there, so just getting moving again, getting rotating again, getting back up to pace. That's the goal these last couple of days, so I feel like I'm close. It's just a matter of time now.
Has your bench gone down?
I have not tested my bench.
You haven't tested
since
your
I've been
bench
out of the hospital bed.
No.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Let me, I found out something real quick today, that you had a run
of every time you had chest day, I know that every time you had chest day, you hit a home run. You actually chart this, right?
Yeah, we can pull up the records.
What's the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to home runs? What exercise?
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one.
Well, the first five were chest day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Five in a row with chest.
Okay.
But I've hit homers on every day. You know, leg day, back day, arm day, whatever. It doesn't matter. There's always a chance, right?
Yeah, always a chance. Yeah, exactly. Me too.
Chest day's been hot for a little while though, so hopefully we'd stay right there.
All right, thank you, man.
Thanks, Robin.
All right, those are the important questions. Those are the important answers. That was Tyler O'Neill. That was on yesterday's pregame show, which is the 2-Minute Grill, sponsored by McFarland Energy. We thank them so much. But we're all the big winners with interviews like that. What's your takeaway, guys?
He sounds exactly how he looks. Not sure if that makes sense to you guys, but he sounds like just a yoked guy. No, my biggest takeaway is I'm not expecting him to be on fire right away. It might be a little bit of an adjustment period. It's only natural.
Oh, come on. Your takeaway should be, did he do chest day today?
That's what I was going to say. My takeaway is going to be chest day every day.
Chest day every day. And forget about, you know, being in a hospital bed. Forget about actually baseball activities. The big question is, have you maxed out on bench since you had this ailment?
What was his max prior?
Well, we when I asked him that, it was one of the best answers I have gotten, certainly in spring training. When I asked him in spring training, he had the great answer, which is, they don't have enough weights for me to actually do that. I need 150s, and they only go up to 125s, dumbbells.
Yeah,
of course.
I can totally relate to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like he went through it. Two hospitals.
I'm actually kind of surprised he came back as quick as he did.
Yeah, it feels like he literally got out of the hospital, went straight to the field, and like took 2 days, and now he's back.
But what's crazy, like, people don't understand like how good he's been since the All-Star break. Like, his numbers
just
are
overall.
We did a whole
play Tessie episode about him and the qualifying offer and like what would you offer him?
Let's do that again. But first, let's get back to the calls. I want to do that again. Remind me to do that again. That's Sammy and Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast. I'm Rob Brown. Bradford, of course, from Baseballs and Boring. Jacob behind the glass. And let's go to the phone lines. Wally in Fall River. Thanks for hanging on, Wally. Appreciate it.
Yeah, what's up, Bradford? I mean, you look at the season so far. You can't pick on Cora. He squeezed the most out of his pitching staff and everybody else. As far as defense, what are you going to do with these guys? They make an error. Send them to bed without any supper? I mean, you know, they... Right? Errors are part of the game. What are you going to do? We all, you know...
You know what, Wally, you know what? That solution is just as good as David in Florida about setting him down. I actually think sending them to bed without supper is a more impactful strategy than actually sending them down. So excellent point.
Star of the players.
No supper for you.
No defense, no supper.
But, Bradford, as far as the season, you know we played lousy at home. What are we, 4 or 5 games under 500? Can you imagine if we were 4 or 5 games over? We'd have a lead in for that third wild card. But the schedule is going to ease up right after Arizona. But as far as Rich Hill, we might as well have called up Eckersley and Pedro to come and pitch for us. I mean, you're just gasping for straws now. You're trying to squeeze everything you can out of this pitching staff.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Walt. I mean, the Rich Hill thing, I think people get it so – it's like a lot of things. Let's be honest, guys, Sammy and Gordo. Let's be honest. People take surface-level stuff and they're like, oh, my goodness, you're a 44-year-old pitcher. This is what you're doing. Guy hasn't pitched all year. It's literally you have nothing to lose. You have zero to lose. It's you're saving money on a hotel because he's commuting from home.
Thank God.
I can't imagine
– They wouldn't assign him.
I am definitely going to find out actually how much money he's going to be making, which I'm trying to figure this out. Like, how much money do you think he's going to be making for 2 months?
Probably like 200K.
It's a minor league deal, right? So he'd be, he's not going to get
I think he negotiated in that he did not have to pay for water for his flights down
VIK.
To Fort Myers.
All right, that's so cool. Yeah. It's a VIK deal. They'll give him like hot dogs and stuff, like cool memorabilia.
He demanded that he stay at Red Roof Inn so he could get Red Roof Inn elite status.
Yeah.
All right. John in Watertown. Hey, John, how are you?
McFarlane.
All right.
There we go.
Doesn't it make you feel good? Doesn't it make you feel good?
Yeah. Now I'm awake.
All right, can I ramble for a minute or two?
Okay.
Why couldn't they just bring up one of the Priester? I know he pitched yesterday, or bring up Fitz and just let them start.
Well, I mean,
they could, but Theo would put them on the 10-day DL. Remember, and give all the starters a rest. The starters are burnt out. Why can't they do that?
Well, I do think, you know, again, I don't know about Priester Fitz. It's obviously a risk, but you get to this point in the season, you have to take some risks. The part about resting starters, I think, is a good one.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand why they weren't trying to do more of what they did with Pivetta. Because Pivetta was actually, you could tell, and he said this. He's like, it made a huge difference. And to your point, like, this is what they used to do. They used to do this all the time. They used to
do it with Beckett, Lester, Dyson,
or what, however you do it. However you do it. Yeah, so, good point, buddy.
One quick other thing here. Marcelo Meyer, he hasn't taken a bat in August again. I mean, he's not Cal Ripken, and it's starting to question me. I know you're going to have Abraham on, and I know he's not going to downplay on the guy. But, I mean, there's a little bit of thinking here that this guy burns out or something. He hasn't had a bat in August yet.
Well, he DH'd the other day, I think. He was supposed to DH.
No, he didn't. I think he hasn't had a bat in August.
Okay, he didn't do it? Yeah, he was supposed to.
Wasn't he in the lineup?
He's out tonight, too. He's not playing tonight. I'm pretty sure he hasn't had a bat, Rob.
He was activated, and then I think he was supposed to be in the lineup as the DH, and then they scratched him, and he hasn't played since.
I mean, they're probably slow playing him because
he's not going to play for the Red Sox. Same thing happened last year.
He took swings, though. He ran the bases. He's getting there.
Thanks for the call. You know, I think that, you know, last year was vastly different. Last year, I think it was a pretty significant shoulder injury. I think he's just like built a little bit banged up. But it would be nice to see them play. And it lends to the conversation when, you know, this was part of the news that happened this week. You have Teal and Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony getting called up to Worcester. And now you have the next level, which is, okay, well, what does this mean for this group next year? Like, in spring training, where you guys should be already, like, booking the room in the Baseball's and Boring House next year. Because the spring training is...
We were talking about that today.
Yeah, well, there you go. Like, let it be said, let it be done. So, I think that it's going to be a fascinating spring training, and I don't know if we had talked about this last week about who would be the guy. Like, how, when you end spring training next year, what is it going to look like? There are so many things you guys can be excited about the future. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But there are so many things roster wise which are so confusing right now. Right? I mean, so what is it going to look like next year, you guys?
It's just so hard to say because you look at the outfield alignment, you look at a decision that needs to be made there. You look at the catchers, is Teal going to be ready? And if he's not, do you keep Wong or do you sell high?
Well, I think Teal, of all those guys, he probably has the best chance to break camp.
So I have a question for you, Rob. Would any part of you be open to, because Danny Jansen's been great and, you know, Connor Wong has obviously played well, but Connor Wong is not a backup catcher at this point. Would there be any part of you that would be open to selling high on Connor Wong and bringing Danny Jansen back?
Jansen's like going to be a free agent, right?
Yeah, you'd have to sign him. But, I mean, after the year he's had, I'm sure he'd be open to a one-year deal and see what happens from there.
Nah, I just rather ride with Connor Wong and bring up Teal. It makes too much sense. Like, I don't think that's, you can go wrong. It's not a terrible, terrible idea, but it
part
does.
Part of it's also the defense to me. Yeah. Like, Connor Wong has obviously played so well.
Yeah. He's been bad back then.
Last night was not good. That was, who was it? Who was pitching last night? Was it Criswell?
Criswell with a lot of sliders.
Yeah, he went to backhand a ball in the dirt with a guy on third. You got to block that. And I don't think I ever caught.
But I do want, before we
and I know that.
Listen, no. In this break coming up, I want you guys to take a video of you practicing blocking baseballs, all right? Like a catcher in the studio. There's lots of room for activities in the Baseballs and Boring Studios, so I want you to do that. But before we do go to the break, I do want to ask you about the Tyler O'Neill thing because this dovetails with what next year is going to look like. All right, qualifying offer for Tyler O'Neill. Do you do it? What say you, Gordo?
I think it's a no-brainer that you give it to him. And if he take, because you need a right hand, like we talk about how much this team needs right-handed hitting, how much they need power. He's both of those things. You'll have your outfield alignment, and you'll hope that Tyler O'Neill can DH. In my world here, they find a way to trade Masataki Yoshida in the offseason. But I think if you can get Tyler O'Neill back on the one-year deal, 20-something million, you do it. And if he turns it down, you take the pick.
What say you, Sammy?
I have pretty much the exact same answer. I think that the biggest part of this, and this is kind of weird because we're talking about O'Neill, but I think you have to offload Yoshida for this to work because ideally, like Gordo said, you probably want O'Neill DHing quite a bit next year. You know, he can sub in at the corner outfield spots, which is great, something that Yoshida hasn't been able to do. But he's had health concerns his entire career. He's had them this year. We just spoke about them. If he can be primarily a DH and play, you know, on and off of the corner outfield spots, I think that's ideal for the Red Sox. So, yes, kind of in that no-brainer realm as well.
And not to mention the corner outfield defensive alignment that you have when Tyler O'Neill DHs is really good. Like, if you have Rafael in center with Duran in left and Willier in right, like, that is really,
that's
good.
Probably the best in baseball.
What say you, producer Jacob?
How often does a guy who can hit that many home runs like just fall into your lap like that? I say that you have to give him as much money as he wants at this point.
As much?
Pat said he wouldn't do it, Rob. We had a whole thing because Pat said
Brown,
he wouldn't.
Also the Playtesty podcast.
We know why.
Yeah.
We know why. It's because Pat wants a muscular guy.
He wants to be the most jacked in town. Yeah, I get it. But yeah, he said he wouldn't do it. The other interesting one's Pivetta because he was talking. Pat made some good points about like Frankie Montas gets like 16 mil.
That's a no for me.
It's a no for me too. But it's not as
Giolito coming back. No.
It's not as firm of a no as I. If he ends the season strong, you could make the argument that he would reject it. I would never hope that he would take it.
But. Well, let's take a quick break. I do want to, if people want to keep weighing in on Tristan Casas about that dynamic, because I'm obviously very, very polarizing, and I do want to get into the trade deadline now that we've had a couple weeks out. The idea of how we were freaking out about the trade deadline, about who won, who lost, what they did do, what they should do, all of that. And now we're sitting here, and some of these teams, like actually they did something, are falling apart. You know, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia hasn't been good, all of that. But with the Red Sox, what did they do? What didn't they do? What did these other teams do? I love trade deadline talk after the fact. I love it, and I love the history of it. I love the history of the trade deadline, otherwise known as the Kyle Schwarber trade. We can reflect on that. All right, we're going to get to all that. First, we're going to take a quick break.
Baseball isn't boring on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All right, we're back with Are we back with Baseball's and Boring? No, there we go. We're back with Baseball's
back.
And Boring. Let's go.
My bad, guys.
I mean,
we're back.
No, listen, Jake. It's not easy finding a guitarist to play live in studio.
We got to keep rolling these guys out. It's like different bands every break. They have so much equipment.
We asked for, and that reminds me, the godfather, the guy who owns the LLC of Baseball's and Boring, Joe Kelly, had made a plea that we needed a Baseball Isn't Boring song/jingle, and nobody stepped up. Nobody.
So are we nowhere? We have not made progress with that yet?
No.
We got to get the AI on that.
Yeah, I don't want AI. I want live. I want humans. I want humans. Speaking of humans, Gordo, you are the only, first of all, congratulations in advance for your impending nuptials, you know, a couple weeks away, right?
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, 2 weeks.
All right, there you go. You're the only human being I know who has major regrets probably for your bachelor party, but for the sole reason that you played basketball in like 110 degree heat. Like that was it, right? Correct?
That is the one regret right there. 100 100 plus degree heat basketball, and it's not like it's like dry heat. It was like humid heat out there.
Who mapped that out? Who's your best man? What's going on?
Who mapped the bachelor party out or the basketball part out?
Well, who integrated who had the voice with that said this is a good idea to play basketball at a bachelor party in Texas at 120 degrees?
You know, me and my home friends, very basketball oriented. We always play like 2-on-2, 3-on-3. Oh, so it just came natural, and it's just like, yeah, we can bear it. And you know, we did for a couple of games. We did our best. I was terrible. I'll tell you, I was so bad. Maybe the worst I've ever played. And I'm not making the Heat an excuse. I have to be bad.
Well, that's because you were nervous. I, on the other hand, I am in Baltimore, the site of my own nuptials.
Really?
Years upon years upon years ago.
Why Baltimore?
Because I wanted to go to, I wanted to play basketball in 102 degree heat in Baltimore. No, my wife's from Baltimore. My wife's from Baltimore. So, you know, happy wifey, happy lifey, starting with wherever the wedding is. We had our wedding here. We were supposed to have a horse-drawn carriage going from the Basilica of the Assumption, the oldest Catholic church in the United States, to the Harbor Court Hotel. Yet the it was too hot for the horses. So, yes, the horses could not answer the bell.
So I'm tougher than the horses is what you're saying.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I mean, yeah, another thing, best laid plans, but it was fine. For what I remember of it, it was fine. It's fine. And I'm not saying from what I remember of it because I was drunk. It was no, because it was so long ago, 30 years ago. So there you go. All right. Well, I promised you some good trade deadline talk, and that's what I'm going to give you. I want to rattle off some numbers for you guys, for you fellas. And a reminder, Farm Director Brian Abraham will be joining us at 5:30, and so we can ask him once again when Kyle Teal, Roman Anthony, and Marcelo Meyer are going to get called up, because that's what we do. It used to be to Worcester, now it's to be Boston. That's
the questions don't stop.
No, the questions don't stop. Like
just because you called him to Worcester, and when they get to the majors, we'll think of the next level.
Oh, that's when Christian Campbell's going to get called up to Worcester. All right, so we have all these questions about the trade deadline. Let me rattle these off. These are the worst teams since the trade deadline. All right, the White Sox. I don't know if you know that they haven't been good.
It's not their year.
Grady Sizemore, I don't think he's going to turn it around. All right, we're going to discount them. They don't count.
Only 37 and a half.
Pittsburgh Pirates, 9-16. Now, the Pittsburgh Pirates did a lot at the trade deadline. They actually did things to insinuate they were trying to win. They were more buyers than sellers, right?
That's not the Pirates' way, though. That's why it's not working.
9-16.
If only they'd sold.
If they sold off all their good pieces, then the team would be.
And how about Nick York hitting, like, you know, again, still hitting like .400 in AAA? He's doing it for the Pirates.
They need Jared Jones back. That's what they need.
The Texas Rangers, they are 10-17, and they middled it. They traded away Michael Lorenzen. Bizarrely, they got Andrew Chafin.
Never works.
And they got Walter Pennington.
Never got him. Buy and sell, never works.
They are my biggest loser of the deadline right there.
Well,
Texas Rangers.
The St. Louis Cardinals, another buyer, Eric Fetty, right? Who else am I missing? They got somebody
Tommy
else.
Pham.
Tommy Pham, 10-16. 10-16. And I'm going to give you another one. The team that I thought it was them against the field, the team that I was singing the praises of Dave Dombrowski, they just need a few things, and he went out and got them. He got the closer. He got the outfielder. It's all coming together. And sure enough, since the All-Star game, 10-16. 10-16.
Look, Rob, I'm telling you, this is why I picked the Phillies as my World Series favorite. They're cold right now. This is when you want to be cold. You want to heat up next month. They're doing this the right way. This is all by design. They're basically playing possum.
All right.
That's a take.
So, yeah, that is a take. Congratulations.
I only half believe it.
Congratulations on your take. I choose to the Arizona Diamondbacks since the All-Star break.
Unbelievable.
20-6.
Yeah.
20-6. And by the way, the San Diego Padres, 19-5. Where are we at the standings with that? That is like.
You want to hear it? I've got it up right now.
What is it? Tell me.
So you got the Dodgers in first, and then the Diamondbacks and the Padres are both three back.
Three back.
And the Giants are 10.5 back, and the Rockies are more than that.
Yeah, three back. All right. Well, I want to talk more about this. And also, we're going to get downtown boots on the ground, Ian Brown, coming up from Cora whenever he talks. I can't be. I'm at Camden Yards, but I can't be in two places at the same
time.
So
close.
The only time I was two places at the same time was in my wedding in Baltimore. Actually, when I was my wedding here, that was like the meat and potatoes heyday of how awesome Camden Yards was. So that was 1994. And I know I'm really old, but 1994, and this was the place to be. And it was so sad that this place was empty for all these years. And even now, you know, you have this great team, definitely a different vibe and everything else. But I think they drew, like, that first game, they drew, like, 23,000 or something.
I was going to say, I wanted to ask you that at some point on the show. What's the crowd like? Because it does not look great on TV, and I can't believe that.
Yeah, because I think it's a lesson that you, when you gut the fan base like that, it's and true. For all these people, oh, do it like the Orioles do. Well, if you do it like the Orioles do, you better be ready to pay the price because you're still paying the price. It's fun. I mean, you have the splash thing out near the bullpen.
Can I tell you how I'm viewing the Orioles? I have been rooting for the downfall of the Orioles. Nothing against anyone on that team. The way they got to where they are, I can't stand it. And you just said it. That's a great point. I didn't even think of that. That's probably why it's not
that packed. It guts the fan base.
Yeah, it guts the fan base. It
does gut the fan base.
Yeah, you get your hardcore
fan. How many years in last place did they endure to get to the 500?
You know what's striking to me? Well, first of all, it's just you had a bobblehead night, I think, on Thursday night, which is, you know, bobblehead nights are like gold for teams.
Oh, yeah.
But
know who they gave away?
I think it was Corbin Burns.
Oh, great bobblehead.
It was Corbin
night.
Burns, and then he gave away 8 earned runs.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
so many giveaways.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, I forget what I was going to say about what else I was going to say, but the fact was is that the Orioles, it was a good crowd in terms of the intensity because Friday night crowds are always good no matter where you are because people are drinking and stuff. But you know, they could have been better in terms of the turnout. Before we take a quick break, let's go to Rob in North Andover. Rob, what do you got for me? What's going on? Welcome to the Baseballs and Boring Show.
Yeah, I had a question. I know that there's so many errors and all that. Has it ever been done before where they maybe get penalized $1,000 for an error? And is it legal? And has it ever been done?
It has never been done. I do not think it's legal. I don't think that is an option in collective bargaining.
You don't think that they did that in like the 1930s? You make an error, like you give the manager $50.
Oh, are you talking about like on the side? I don't think it's written into contracts.
Oh,
no,
definitely not.
Yeah, no, it's. I like the outside the box thinking. So far, what we have to fix the defense, send down some of your best players, or starve your players, or fine your players.
I think starvation is good because nothing makes athletes play better than being starved.
I can tell you, so when we walk into the clubhouse here, you have to sort of walk down this hallway it's sort of like the lounge area, right? So you're walking through these guys eating, and the first night they were there, they had the whole crabs with the hammer thing. The crowd, like, they had it all laid out, and so we're walking out, and the only people there was, like, the hitting coaches were the only one partaking in this because I don't think the younger players are like, I don't want to do that. I don't. It's too messy. It's too
Come
much
on,
effort.
Be adventurous.
I have never ever wanted just to take my backpack and just stuff it full of like crabs like that. I don't know if that's against media regulations, but I wanted to do it. So, all right. Well, like I said, downtown boots on the ground. Ian Brown of MLB.com will be coming up to tell us what's what when it comes to the Alex Cora get together, and Brian Abraham, farm director, he's going to be at 5:30 as well, leading into the pregame show with me, and then you have obviously the great call, Tyler Murray in.
Baseball isn't boring on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All right, we're back with are we back with Baseballs and Boring? Oh, there we go. We're back with Baseballs
and
Boring. Let's go.
My bad, guys.
I mean,
we're back.
No, listen, Jake, it's not easy finding a guitarist to play live in studio.
We got to keep rolling these guys out. It's like different bands every break. They have so much equipment.
We asked for, and that reminds me, the godfather, the guy who owns the LLC of Baseballs and Boring, Joe Kelly, had made a plea that we needed a Baseball Isn't Boring song/jingle, and nobody stepped up. Nobody.
So are we nowhere? We have not made progress with that yet?
No.
We got to get the AI on that.
Yeah, I don't want AI. I want live. I want humans. I want humans. Speaking of humans, Gordo, you are the only, first of all, congratulations in advance for your impending nuptials, you know, a couple weeks away, right?
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, 2 weeks.
All right. There you go. You're the only human being I know who has major regrets probably for your bachelor party, but for the sole reason that you played basketball in like 110 degree heat. like you're back. That was it, right? Correct.
That is the one regret right there. 100 plus degree heat basketball, and it's not like it's like dry heat. It was like humid heat out there.
Who mapped that out? Who's your best man? What's going on?
Who mapped the bachelor party out or the basketball part out?
Well, who had the voice with that said this is a good idea to play basketball at a bachelor party in Texas at 120 degrees?
You know, me and my home friends, very basketball oriented. We always play like 2-on-2, 3-on-3. It just came natural, and it's just like, yeah, we can bear it. And yeah, you know, we did for a couple of games. We did our best. I was terrible. I'll tell you, I was so bad. Maybe the worst I've ever played. And I'm not making the heat an excuse. I have to be better.
Well, that's because you were nervous. I, on the other hand, I am in Baltimore, the site of my own nuptials.
Really?
Years upon years upon years ago.
Why Baltimore?
Because I wanted to play basketball in 102 degree heat in Baltimore. No, my wife's from Baltimore. My wife's from Baltimore. So, you know, happy wifey, happy lifey, starting with wherever the wedding is. We had our wedding here. We were supposed to have a horse-drawn carriage going from the Basilica of the Assumption, the oldest Catholic church in the United States, to the Harbor Court Hotel. Yet it was too hot for the horses. So, yes, the horses could not answer the bell.
So I'm tougher than the horses is what you're saying.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I mean, yeah, another thing, best laid plans, but it was fine. For what I remember of it, it was fine. It's fine. And I'm not saying from what I remember of it because I was drunk. It was no, because it was so long ago, 30 years ago. So there you go. All right. Well, I promised you some good trade deadline talk, and that's what I'm going to give you. I want to rattle off some numbers for you guys, for you fellas. And a reminder, Farm Director Brian Abraham will be joining us at 5:30, and so we can ask him once again when Kyle Teal, Roman Anthony, and Marcelo Meyer are going to get called up, because that's what we do. It used to be to Worcester, now it's to be Boston.
The questions don't stop. Like, just because you called him to Worcester, and when they get to the majors, we'll think of the next level.
Oh, that's when Christian Campbell's going to get called up to Worcester. All right. So we have all these questions about the trade deadline. Let me rattle these off. These are the worst teams since the trade deadline. All right, the White Sox. I don't know if you know that they haven't been good.
It's not their year.
Grady Sizemore, I don't think he's going to turn it around. All right, we're going to discount them. They don't count.
Only 37 and a half.
Pittsburgh Pirates, 9-16. Now, the Pittsburgh Pirates did a lot at the trade deadline. They actually did things to insinuate they were trying to win. They were more buyers than sellers, right?
That's not the Pirates' way, though. That's why it's not working.
9-16.
If only they'd sold.
If they sold off all their good pieces, then the team would be fired.
How about Nick York hitting like, you know, again, still hitting like .400 in AAA. He's doing it for the Pirates.
They need Jared Jones back. That's what they need.
The Texas Rangers, they are 10-17, and they middled it. They traded away Michael Lorenzen. Bizarrely, they got Andrew Chafin.
Never works.
And they
never,
got Walter Pennington.
Works. Never
they
works.
Got him.
Buy and they, sell, never works.
They are my biggest loser of the deadline right there.
Well,
Texas Rangers.
The St. Louis Cardinals, another buyer, Eric Fetty, right? Who else am I missing? They got somebody
Tommy
else.
Pham.
Tommy Pham, 10-16. 10-16. And I'm going to give you another one. The team that I thought it was them against the field, the team that I was singing the praises of Dave Dombrowski, they just need a few things, and he went out and got them. He got the closer. He got the outfielder. It's all coming together. And sure enough, since the All-Star game, 10-16. 10-16.
Look, Rob, I'm telling you, this is why I picked the Phillies as my World Series favorite. They're cold right now. This is when you want to be cold. You want to heat up next month. They're doing this the right way. This is all by design. They're basically playing possum.
All right.
That's a take.
So, yeah, that is a take. Congratulations.
I only half believe it.
Congratulations on your take. I choose the Arizona Diamondbacks since the All-Star break.
Unbelievable.
20-6.
Yeah.
20-6. And by the way, the San Diego Padres, 19-5. Where are we at the standings with that? That is like.
You want to hear it? I've got it up right now.
Oh, what is it? Tell me.
So you got the Dodgers in first, and then the Diamondbacks and the Padres are both three back.
Three back.
And the Giants are 10.5 back, and the Rockies are more than that.
Yeah, three back. All right. Well, I want to talk more about this. And also, we're going to get downtown boots on the ground, Ian Brown, coming up from Cora whenever he talks. I can't be – I'm at Camden Yards, but I can't be in two places at the same
time. So close.
The only time I was two places at the same time was in my wedding in Baltimore. Actually, like, so when I was – my wedding here, this that was like the meat and potatoes heyday of how awesome Camden Yards was. It was – so that was 1994 – and I know I'm really old, but 1994, and this was the place to be. And it was so sad that this place was empty for all these years. And even now, you know, you have this great team, definitely a different vibe and everything else. But I think they drew, like, that first game, they drew, like, 23,000 or something.
I was going to say, I wanted to ask you that at some point on the show. What's the crowd like? Because it does not look great on TV, and I can't believe that.
Yeah, because I think it's a lesson that when you gut the fan base like that, it's and true. For all these people, oh, do it like the Orioles do. Well, if you do it like the Orioles do, you better be ready to pay the price because you're still paying the price. It's fun. I mean, you have the splash thing out near the bullpen.
Can I tell you how I'm viewing the Orioles? I have been rooting for the downfall of the Orioles. Nothing against anyone on that team. The way they got to where they are,
yeah.
I can't stand it. And you just said it. That's a great point. I didn't even think of that. That's probably why it's not
that
packed.
It guts the fan base.
Yeah, it guts the fan base. It
does gut the fan
base. Yeah,
you get
your hardcore
fans. How many years did they endure to get even to the 500?
You know what's striking to me? Well, first of all, it's just you had a bobblehead night, I think, on Thursday night, which is, you know, bobblehead nights are like gold for teams.
Oh, yeah.
But
do you know who they gave away?
I think it was Corbin Burns.
Yeah. Oh, great bobblehead.
It was Corbin
night.
Burns, and then he gave away 800 runs.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, so many giveaways.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, I forget what I was going to say but the fact was is that the Orioles, it was a good crowd in terms of the intensity because Friday night crowds are always good no matter where you are because people are drinking and stuff. But you know, they could have been better in terms of the turnout. Before we take a quick break, let's go to Rob in North Andover. Rob, what do you got for me? What's going on? Welcome to the Baseballs and Boring Show.
Yeah, I had a question. I know that there's so many errors and all that. Has it ever been done before where they maybe get penalized $1,000 for an error? And is it legal? And has it ever been done?
It has never been done. I do not think it's legal. I don't think that is an option in collective bargaining.
You don't think that they did that in, like, the 1930s? You make an error, like, you give the manager $50.
Oh, are you talking about, like, on the side? I don't think it's written into contracts.
Oh, no,
point.
Definitely not.
Yeah, no, it's. I like the outside the box thinking. So far, what we have to fix the defense, send down some of your best players, or starve your players, or fine your players.
I think starvation is good because nothing makes athletes play better than being starved.
I can tell you, so when we walk into the clubhouse here, you have to sort of walk down this hallway it's sort of like the lounge area, right? So you're walking through these guys eating, and the first night they were there, they had the whole crabs with the hammer thing. Oh. The crab, like they had it all laid out, and so we're walking out, and the only people there was like the hitting coaches were the only one partaking in this because I don't think the younger players are like, I don't want to do that. I don't. It's too messy. It's too much effort.
Be adventurous.
I have never ever wanted just to take my backpack and just stuff it full of like crabs like that. I don't know if that's against media regulations, but I wanted to do it. So, all right. Well, like I said, downtown boots on the ground. Ian Brown of MLB.com will be coming up to tell us what's what when it comes to the Alex Cora get together, and Brian Abraham, farm director, he's going to be at 5:30 as well, leading into the pregame show with me, and then you have obviously the great call, Tyler Murray in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.